Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
So there's obviously a bunch of different angles, a bunch of different stories in this one story that has been broken by our guest, Carlos Arellano, Anthony Rubin, RealMuckraker.com. I noticed, Carlos, you changed your X handle again. Are you going to stick with this one finally? I think you should stick with this one, at Informant Carlos. That's your best one yet. So there's so many different stories, and it's like, okay, I want to get back into the genesis, and when we come back after this short segment, just kind of get into all the different avenues and all the different outlets of where this thing goes. But how do you even make sense of this when you hear this stuff? And it's like, we're told to come to the United States. Sounds like it's a better living situation than we have here. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I mean, this is a U.S. government sponsored, funded human trafficking invasion operation. I mean, that's what you guys have documented here. And the end result, it sounds like, for the majority of cases you followed up on, is a horror story.
Pretty much, yeah, a horror story or you know, worse than a horror story, right? Something extremely graphic that maybe might not even be in a movie, but we just don't know. Like we said, there were so many kids that were simply gone. They just gave them away and we couldn't find them. And you know, it was another thing that was quite interesting. A lot of these quote-unquote sponsors, we would knock on the door, hey, where's the kid? Oh, I don't have the kid anymore, I gave him away. And we'd be like, okay, well, where's the kid? And I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to talk to you. And the thing is, just like, they would look at us with such disdain, and they would just be so, just acting like they ran the joint, right? It's like, dude, you're not even, like, you should probably be deported. Like, you're an illegal alien, you're not even here legitimately. It's a fake asylum claim, and yet you're here speaking to me with total disrespect, with total, like, totally doesn't care about our concerns, why we're looking for the kid, or where that kid might be. And it's basically like, get out of my face. And so just the bravado of these people. I mean, maybe you want to talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, we had a lot of people hang up on us, even though we say we're checking up on the kid, they didn't care. A lot of people slammed the door on us. A lot of people make threats. A lot of people from the window start recording us, like, we're the bad people here. And I think a few others were really shady, as in, like, they would go to another house and then think we didn't have the address for that. And we'll be like, hey, we were knocking at your other house. Where were you? We could see you looking through the window. And they'd be like, well, I don't want to talk to you. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And they would just be dodging us. And
and then we did have some sponsors who were like, I have nothing to hide, so I'm going to open the door to you.
Well, and that's where I was going to go next, because it's like, I mean, believe me, I don't like dealing with law enforcement. I get pulled over for speeding or whatever. But it's like, yeah, okay, hands on the wheel, window rolled down. Yes, sir, whatever you want. Okay, yeah, I have nothing to hide, right? It's like, I got nothing to hide. Do what you got to do and let me go on my way. And usually that will end up well for you. So it's just like, I mean, you don't want to make an assumption and say everything is 100%. But when you're acting shady like that, when you're acting like you got something to hide, there's probably something going on there.
Correct.
Like, if I'm telling the officer, like, no, I'm not getting out of the car, you know, no, I'm not going to roll my window down, like, no, you can't search my car. Well, guess what? He's going to be suspicious.
Yep.
100%. 100%. I mean, if I was in that situation, I can't imagine behaving the way these people behaved. Again, the thing is, though, this goes back to the issue, is that we don't have any enforcement capabilities. So it was just us as two men with cameras trying to make some sort of impact here, trying to find these kids. And, you know, this is what we ran up against. So if there's any, you know, actual law enforcement agency or government agency that wants this information and wants to actually do something with it, yeah, we'd be happy to work with them. But unfortunately, I doubt that's the case. They will probably want it so they could write some sort of hit piece about us. You know, real quick before we go to this break, I just had that happen to me. We exposed this at this apartment complex in Georgia, all of these illegal aliens that admitted to being registered to vote. Okay, the Secretary of State office in Georgia, then they go, oh, we want to talk to you guys. We want to get more information. We're really concerned. So we go, okay, sure thing. And you know what they do? They hand it off to the New York Times. The New York Times writes a hit piece on us.
Is that Raffensperger's office?
Yes.
That's good.
If you could even imagine. So that's what they did. They didn't look into it. They ended up just saying that we're full of crap, and they have the New York Times write a hit piece on us.
That's very nice. That's very nice of Raffensperger.
Right.
He's really concerned about Georgia's elections. The good news is there actually are good Republicans in Georgia that are probably going to save it from getting stolen this go-around, but I don't know if Raffensperger's one of them. We'll be right back.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, I still got a lot of things to get into this major story from muckraker.com. My guest Carlos and Anthony in studio breaking this. And let me start here, because we're kind of getting into the genesis. Let's talk about the list that you were given. And obviously, I'm not asking you to divulge anything here that's sensitive, except I'm just curious, was this shared with you because people were concerned on the inside that there wasn't follow-up? Like, how much effort did it take? Did you have to go to it? Did it have to come to you? I'm talking about the list that led you down the path to find where these missing children are.
Carlos, you're the one who got it originally, so.
Yeah, they were concerned. There was a lot of concern over these kids because at the shelter that these kids were coming from, they were doing things like erasing pregnant girls from the system. So there was a lot of teenage girls who were pregnant, and they were deleting their names, their information, as if they were never there.
Is that because they got pregnant after they got here? What's that?
Yeah, so that's what we don't know, but apparently they were never at the shelter, but when we went out to go look for kids, we came across a few girls who were like, we were saying, yes, we're from California, we're from the Pomona shelter, and we were pregnant on site, but they didn't go any further into that.
Well, I would imagine that if they get pregnant on site, they'd probably want to erase that evidence.
Yeah, and there's a big mystery there. We don't know what it is, but more than one girl. I think it was about 10 or 15 of them that were erased from the system on that site.
So in other words, let's say a whistleblower who's concerned about what he's seeing on the inside with the lack of accountability for all these missing children, and he says, hey, look, you guys want a lead? Here it is. And you follow up.
Correct. And the other special thing about this site, too, that was erasing the pregnant girls from the system was, and this I can confirm myself because I was one of them who did it, I was, instead of flying around on the airplanes, sometimes they would tell us, well, today your only job is to drive these girls to the abortion clinic to get an abortion done in California.
Who pays for that abortion?
That was the NGO who's in charge there.
So a Catholic group?
They were a native group, Cherokee Federal, something.
A native group that's also getting funding from the government.
Correct.
Because, I mean, really, it's government money.
Correct.
They pay all these different groups, Christian groups, Jewish groups, I guess native groups, and that's kind of like their middleman of saying, hey, we didn't do it.
Yeah. And then they outsource themselves and go hire a third party company that just moves the children around, like the one I worked for. And they say, hey, not just the airplanes, go drive them to the abortion clinics. That way, when they get confronted, did you ever take any girls to the abortion clinics? They say no, because technically it wasn't them. It was me and my coworkers who were from another company.
The third-party contractor.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
How many girls do you think are bused to an abortion clinic on an average day?
Well, this was in 2021. So during the COVID era, when they shut down all the stadiums, all the soccer, football, all the sports stadiums, President Biden actually struck deals to open them up and put kids in there. So there was kids in
the stadiums.
Yeah, in the stadiums. So there was kids in San Antonio, Texas, Dallas, Texas, and football arenas and baseball stadiums. And sometimes there were 2,000, 3,000 kids. So I would say on an average of
maybe 5 to 10 girls a week going to the abortion sites.
Wow.
All these sites.
This is one of the sickest things, actually. It goes beyond even the illegal immigration story. The money laundering that goes on between the United States government, Planned Parenthood, and the Democrat Party. They fund these groups, then they pay for the abortions, and then Planned Parenthood donates to the Democrat Party by the millions. I mean, it's one of the sickest things ever. And they just, you know, kill kids in the process. It's like a little bonus on top for them, I suppose. You know, that's crazy you bring up San Antonio, because I guess it got real bad in San Antonio at one point, because it was the beginning, I think, of either 2021 or maybe late 2020. And maybe the crew can find this video. They love these little treasure hunts I send them on mid-show. I went to one of those illegal immigrant clinics in San Antonio. This is when it like first got bad. So probably early 2021 when Biden just got in, and it got so bad, and they're right downtown. These shelters were right downtown. So it was like, I mean, you'd have a small little building and you'd have hundreds. They couldn't even fit in the building, and you'd have hundreds. They'd be pouring out. They'd be living in the streets. So people were just like, what the hell is going on? It was an illegal immigrant shelter. And I went down there with a camera. Of course, they kicked me out and called the cops and everything. You know, how dare you come in here and film these people? But so they started putting them into the stadiums that were closed.
Yeah.
That's how that, I mean, we're talking stadiums of 20,000 seats, what, 50,000 seats?
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center, I think the Alamo Dome was also used. And
that's like an 80,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
It's a massive facility.
Yeah, if you look up Greg Abbott, closest down migrant shelter in 2021 in San Antonio, he showed up with the Texas Rangers because there was reports of these migrant kids running away with the staff members, and they were getting involved romantically with the staff. And there was also tons
minors?
Of reports. Minors. And there was also tons of reports of minors running away from these stadiums because they were... They could only hire about 200 workers to look over 2,000 kids. So imagine in a stadium, it's impossible to keep an eye on them. They run away. They get away.
I mean, it's a massive facility. It's right downtown.
And it's easy to slip out of the stadium, and then you just can't find them anymore. But Greg Abbott shut one down in San Antonio in 2021. And then if you look up also Dallas, Texas in 2021, a bunch of kids were caught on charter buses. And they couldn't move them because there wasn't enough escorts to go on the airplanes with them. So it got really out of hand. But, you know, like you said, the government was laundering money with the people who owned these convention centers, these stadiums. They didn't have their sports teams. They didn't have any other way to make money during the COVID era. So they made it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But people didn't care about it as much back then. You know, it was...
Well, it's probably easier to hide it too when people are just staying at home all day. They're not out and about. They're not going to downtown San Antonio, going to a bar, going to a restaurant, going to an event. All right, I want to get back to this voting issue. I mean, how many of these illegal aliens did you run into that said they were registered to vote? I mean, was that an average, like most of them did, or was it rare?
Oh my God! First of all, this is not, we've done this now in four states. We've done it in North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and a state that you guys are going to see early tomorrow morning. Okay. Probably the most important, most consequential state in the upcoming 2024 presidential election. I'll just say that right now. So we've done this across four states. What happens is we actually use the same list that we use for the finding these children, because that list leads you to these apartment complexes that are just packed, like 90, 95%, sometimes almost like 99% full of just illegal aliens. That's it. It's the same type of apartment complex areas that you see that are, it's like the same stuff you saw in Aurora, Colorado, where they were walking around with assault rifles, literally the same type of environment. And so what we do, we have this list, we go to these different apartment complexes and we just ask them, we go, hey, listen, you know, we're here, we're with just, you know, we just say we're with an organization. We don't even give a name. We just want to know, are you already registered to vote? And they go, oh, yeah, somebody came here last week, or we registered at a grocery store or whatever. And then we go, oh, okay, well, are you a citizen? And the answer is, of course not. And we've done this now across four different states. Again, people will see tomorrow there's going to be a big video joint release, Muckraker and Heritage Oversight Project tomorrow morning. People are going to see the fourth state that we've done. And yeah, I mean, this is what's going on in every single state, basically. We've done four of them, but I would venture to say we could find the same thing going on in every state. Yet, when you read the mainstream, I just had a New York Times hit piece come at me. Ken Benzinger, lovely fellow from the New York Times, who basically follows people like Muckraker around and Michael Yon and Heritage Foundation and just likes to write hit pieces on everything we do.
Oh, they're fun, aren't they?
Yeah, but basically he goes out and he goes, well, there's only, you know, there's been studies that show that it's exceedingly rare. And they act like it's so rare that we don't even have to look into it. And they just gaslight people. It's so incredible. But no, I actually think in states like Arizona and Georgia, states that were decided by about 11,000 votes each, I mean, it could be enough to sway the election. Absolutely.
Oh, well, you're actually already proven right. And I mean, you're on the road following these stories. I'm looking at the election news. It was proven 100% in Georgia. They removed, I mean, the Georgia margin of victory was like 12,000 or something.
Yes.
Or 11,000. And they removed, I can't remember, it was 11 or 12, and then they removed 15 or 12. I don't know. The point is, they removed illegals from the voter rolls. It was over the margin of victory. And that's what Trump was talking about. When he called them up and he said, hey, there are more illegal votes than the margin of victory. And he says, find the votes. And then they spin it in the media. They say, Trump said, find the votes to cheat. No, he was proven right in court. They removed the illegal voters. It was beyond the margin of victory. So from your experience, though, they say, oh, it's rare. From your experience, it sounds like actually it's extremely common.
We could go out. You know, we haven't done this in Texas. Because there's been other states that are higher on our priority.
Well, they haven't stolen Texas yet.
They haven't stolen Texas yet either. It's, you know, eventually, hopefully not, but it's getting there. But there were
They removed 1 million illegal votes from the rolls in Texas.
We saw that a couple weeks ago. I mean, yeah, that was great. That was good news. They're actually doing their job out here. Paxton is doing some solid work. They've actually followed up, you know, going after NGOs that we've tipped them off on. So that's good. But, you know, these other states, man, I mean, we could go out right now. We already know. I mean, there's an illegal alien apartment complex where there was like suspected trafficking. There's an apartment complex here in Austin, Texas that has had over 100 unaccompanied children sent to this small apartment complex, a trafficking situation. We actually knocked there as well for this video. We weren't able to find any children because this is like an old list, but we did talk to neighbors and they said one of the neighbors that was living in that apartment complex said that, a couple, like a year or two ago, there was somebody that was here pimping out the child that was living with him.
And a minor.
Yeah, a small girl. And so, anyway, the point is, I would venture to say if we went to that apartment complex right now, we could pull the same story out in Texas.
Well, it was the 2014 census. I can't remember. There was a census a while back, and I knew some census workers at the time. And for them, it was a wake-up call. I mean, you know, your job as a census worker is to go out and get the census. You got to go door knocking, a lot like what you're talking about, but you're just going around whatever neighborhoods. They couldn't believe how many illegals were. They didn't expect it.
Right.
Talking about just normal, average, middle-class towns, illegals everywhere. You're like, what the heck is going on? And, of course, they get included in the census, and then they get included in the Electoral College count. I mean, all of that should be illegal as it is. But it's the same thing you say, oh, they act like it's rare. No, it's not. Right. It's actually not rare at all. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, they lose that. And then they say, well, you know, you were an immigrant or you're just homophobic or you're just, what are you talking? You lost the debate, so now you're insulting me and you're completely missing the issue here.
Right. Right. And then they lob these, it's like banana peels that they lobby you for you to slip on. And they get you caught up dodging these banana peels. And we're not actually, you know, focused on winning the race being preserving our American Republic. But they'll bring up just all this nonsense. And that's why, I mean, I don't want to get off topic here, but that's, in my opinion, why one of the main reasons why they have us even talking about if men can be women and all this transgender crap and black versus white and how white people are racist and white supremacy is the biggest terrorist threat. It's because they want to distract us. They want us talking about that while they go and undermine our elections and steal our American Republic. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. Have us talking about this absolute garbage while our country is taken away from us.
Yeah, there's no doubt it serves as a quite nice distraction, and then people don't focus. And actually, again, not to get off track, but I harp on this all the time, too. It's like we sit here, and you look at the Democrat Party platform. Okay, abortion. Less than 1% of Americans will have anything to do with an abortion. Trans issues. Less than 1% of Americans will ever deal with trans issues. So these are issues that are a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a minority in this country
right.
that they raise to the top instead of the issues that face all of us, you know, taxes, wars, illegal immigration. These face all of us. I mean, but oh no, let's talk about these minor fractional issues instead of the real thing. So you're definitely right about that. And Carlos, I want to ask you your experience because you've dealt with this now in the big cities and in the small cities. And the one thing that I say, because we cover the Springfield, Ohio story, obviously a lot, and now there's Alabama stories coming out. There's Pennsylvania stories coming out. It's going on. I'm guessing it's going on in hundreds of small towns, and it's probably all going to come out eventually, multiple states. But what I've said is because I've been around small town America. I've got family that lives in small town America. But I want to get your opinion. To me, it's like you can kind of get away with having all these people in a large city because there's already a lot of degradation. There's already kind of a lot of third world signs, and it's just a big, you know, big city area. You kind of, when you put 10,000 illegal immigrants into a small town of 20,000 people, I mean, that's like having Shaquille O'Neal at a midget convention. Like everybody can see that.
Yeah, but they, depending on the area, like before I got into all of this, as soon as I got out of high school, when I was 17, I went in and worked in a chicken factory in Arkansas, and the town was called Batesville, and the town needed about 6,000 workers to run a chicken plant that I went to go work at, and out of those 6,000 workers, about 4,000 of them were from Central America, and they were all young, really young age, and people, I mean, they know they're there, but they look the other way when, we can get something out of them. And
cheap labor?
Yeah, cheap labor, or we can go sell them a fake Social Security card or make some kind of money out of them, and they know they'll pay it. And they just kind of eventually blend in, but I was telling Anthony, actually, this. People were freaking out over Aurora, Colorado. And I was like, wow, we've been to these places all over the country this year, and it's nothing new. Like, it's just...
Why do you suppose Aurora made the news? Because, again, you never know with this stuff, right? I mean, when you're in the media or even when you're on the ground, like you guys even more so, like, you never know when a story is going to make it, right? It's like you just never know.
You don't.
Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean, to add to what you were saying, like with the Haitian situation, that's what it is. If you need to understand what replacement migration is, you look at Springfield, right? That is replacement migration. Their way of life is going the way of the dodo bird. Now, I don't know how many Haitians you need to import. Like, what's the ratio between a native Springfielder versus Haitian? Like, what is the ratio have to be there? Is it 2-1? Is it 3-1? I don't know. But eventually, it's no longer Springfield anymore. It's something new. It's this mongrel Springfield. It's
Haityfield.
Like, it's Haityfield, right? So
that's what it is. There's a Springfield, I think, in every state. So it's Haityfield now.
And so I guess that's what I'm saying. If you need, that's replacement migration. And before you know it, you'll have all these people. There'll be nothing tethering us now to this homeland of ours. There's nothing tethering the people to the United States. The country is just an idea. It's just a bunch of people living within a certain border, and they decide to protect, you know, have a way of life and protect that ideal. And before you know it, you import enough of these people, we'll be replaced. That ideal will be gone, washed away, because nobody will know what it is. And our country will go the way of the dodo bird. At the highest level, that is what I see when I'm looking at Springfield. Replacement migration, that's a perfect case study of it.
Well, and it's ironic that it is Springfield. I think I believe there's 50 Springfields. So it's like, that's the American city name. So it's like, oh, they're going to take over Springfield. But, you know, to kind of expand on that too, the coastal elite, the liberal, the media elite, you know, they don't care. Small town America, they don't even know it exists. They don't care. They look at it like, hey, what do you care? Well, we'll throw some Haitians in your neighborhood. Who cares? What are you doing anyway? Well, this is why I can't stand the disdain for, as they call, flyover country, because it's like, you know, maybe you don't like their lifestyle, or maybe you wouldn't want to live that lifestyle. Maybe some people try to get out of that lifestyle. Maybe some people like it. Call it simple life, small town life, whatever. But my point is, what are they doing to you? When has any small town America negatively impacted these big cities? It's the exact opposite. It's the voters in Chicago that turn Illinois blue and crush the small towns. It's the voters in Philadelphia that turn Pennsylvania blue and crush the small towns. It's the coastal elite. It's the liberal elite that are crushing the small town America. They're not going after these big cities. They don't want anything to do with you. They're not going into your towns. And they're just sending these illegals into these towns, destroying these communities, making them more dangerous, just eroding what is their culture, if you will, and they just don't care. They just don't care.
I wonder what do you think is worse? These leftists that sit from their ivory towers. I mean, literal ivory towers. They're up in the Hollywood Hills, or they're up in a giant penthouse in Manhattan somewhere. What's worse? Those people who may be calling the shots on a lot of this, or the leftists who are on the ground in a place like Springfield that go, oh, these are our loving new neighbors. And meanwhile, they're going to chop off the head of the local goose. I mean, like, which one is worse? I'm not sure which one is worse, because those people that are on the ground are mind-controlled drones. And, you know, unless they can be swayed the other way and understood, no, this is replacement migration, our country is going to go extinct, we're doomed, man.
Well, it's like the video where they shipped all, I think it was Abbott or DeSantis, shipped all the illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard. And they were like, oh, and like 24 hours, they celebrated, had a party, had a wine spritzer. And then the next day they bought in these luxury buses and said, oh, bye. Like, oh, right. Get out of our town, though. And it's just like, oh, okay. So, oh, you love them so much. And then you said, yeah, by the way, get the hell out. Go back. Go to small town America. Go to Springfield, America. We don't actually want you here. We're going to virtue signal. And, you know, pop a bottle of champagne, like, oh, look, we're slumming it with these illegals. And then the next day, he's like, hey, by the way, get the hell out of my house.
Right.
We're done with you. All right, so final thing I'm going to have here for you guys. I'm expecting you're going to be hearing from members of Congress for testimony on this. There's going to be
oh,
hearings.
Oh, that's so funny. Somebody must have tipped you off. We had a little internal thing about that. That's so funny. No, we were speaking to them. They want to have – you know what? I mean, Carlos, you could probably speak in this better than I can. You've had more involvement with them. But they're more concerned – let me just say this. Here's what I'll say. We spoke to – I'll just say people in Congress. I'm not going to name names. Maybe they'll come around. They're still acting like they're interested. But I have never seen more grifters than the grifters that I've seen involved in the whole child trafficking space. These people who hold themselves up as saviors of children – I would never call myself that. Even if I was busting into places, you know, and extracting children like Tim Ballard does, I would never say that, because it's like not the type of thing you say. It's in bad taste. But these people who do absolutely nothing, that sit behind a desk and just talk about it all day, grift the most. And there's so much grift behind anything child related. It actually blows my mind. And I have seen more of that over the last 3 months than I've ever seen in my life. And it's quite disgusting. But Carlos, if you want to touch upon that, I mean.
Yeah, I've sat in maybe about five meetings where they said five different times you have an opportunity to testify, and only one has happened. The rest of those four, all of them been canceled or postponed, or they found something bigger that's going to make them look better, and they saw, oh, forget the kids.
Well, and I don't understand that, because I have this with other whistleblowers I've had on the show, and it's like the same story every time. It's like, hey, they contact me and then they get cold feet, or they contact me, but then they never follow through. And so I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. And again, it's not like, I don't know how to lay this out, but I'll just do it. It's like, oh, but we'll get Ben Shapiro to testify on censorship, a guy who's never been censored, right, like a total establishment guy.
Right.
Or we'll get all these other people to testify on these things. And it's like, hey, look, that's fine. I don't care. These are real whistleblowers. These are real journalists on the ground exposing this stuff. And it's like the members of Congress that contact you, they're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I'll just say this. I know we get 25 seconds. There was supposed to be a testimony today. It got canceled. But I literally said to him, I said, listen, you let me come to that floor, I will give you hours of exclusive content. Just take it.
We just did it right here.
And they just ignored it. They go, oh, okay, yeah, sounds good. And then that was it.
I mean, you're telling me that the testimony that you provided right here isn't worth Congress's time?
Apparently not.
I mean, come on. All right. Great stuff. Muckraker.com. Appreciate you guys coming in studio.
Appreciate you.
11 weeks ago, the U.S. Justice Department trustee assigned to my case, personal and business bankruptcy, ordered without a court order or any reason the doors of this facility shut. They lied and said it would just be for 3 days, and they admitted the security it would be for a month or permanently. The judge in Houston, Judge Lopez, had nothing to do with it. Then it hit the news they were going to close us. No judge's order, no nothing, just the Justice Department, who'd been involved in the case harassing me from the beginning for over a year and a half. People were blown away by it. I refused to go along with it. I said I'd call the police on them. They didn't have any orders. They backed down. Then they went to court 2 weeks later and said, we want him removed. The judge listened to him and said, you're all fired. The CRO... who've been appointed by the court and the Justice Department appointed person that the court had let into it. And they had a Justice Department committee, all this stuff. Now, I'm in personal bankruptcy. I agreed to sell the assets of Free Speech Systems, the website, the shopping cart, the equipment. And there was going to be an auction on the 24th of October. Then they moved to the 30th. The Democratic Party running all this, the FBI, CIA, it's all come out in the news. Didn't want that. They want me off the air by early November. This is in the court filings. They said, we don't want money. We want him shut down. And the judge said, no, it's gonna sell. There's buyers out there that are patriots that I'd work with. They'd have to outbid that. They don't want to do that. So they announced, and I knew this 2 days ago and hadn't announced it yet. It hit Bloomberg, AP, Reuters. We'll put Bloomberg up. That the Justice Department is intervening. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. They rarely get involved in bankruptcies, but they got involved in mine. They're unable, through just pure vigilantism, to shut us down 11, 12 weeks ago. Got egg on their face, and now they've come back. They want us shut down and just close and don't even let them sell the assets. You heard that. So it's a gamble, but we were doing it. Only move we had left. And they obviously got our phones tapped and stuff, and no, some bettors coming. Okay, they're going to have an issue on their hands. And they don't want to do that. They've got big billionaire backers, they claim. They've even told that in the court. We'll see what happens. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. That's because they're getting ready to try to take Trump out. And once he's president-elect, they don't want us on air during that fight. They don't want us telling the truth. We're reaching tens of millions conservatively a day. Some days 50, 60 million now. I can't do this without funding. I'm out of money. They took all my money and it wasn't a lot during the bankruptcy. I am literally on empty myself, and I have to pay for the legal challenges of all this in court. And I have to fight them, and that's an hour-long story right there. They're trying to take my physical name and say they own it, trying to take my social media. This is a critical fight. So I need you to go to the alexjonesstore.com that's separate from free speech, but they're advertisers here, big supporters, and get Alex Jones t-shirts, Patriot t-shirts. There's new great designs. We'll put some on screen for you. And go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the ball caps, the t-shirts, all of it. You get entered to win for the big pickup truck at $10,000 cash and all that. And then contest is over on the 30th of October, strangely enough. We need the funds. These are great t-shirts. I need your aid. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and support that sponsor. That's the critical place to support, thealexjonesstore.com. Stand with us and support our outside sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, and the InfoWars store. The products are ready to ship. You'll get them. InfoWarsStore.com, the InfoWars MD, the gummies, the CBD tincture, the nitric boost, it's all there at InfoWarsStore.com. Now go now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So it's incredible, as we are left by Carlos and Anthony from RealMuckraker.com, as I'm talking to them. I mean, folks, I can't even believe it. And hopefully after their interview today at InfoWars, they'll get more media inquiries or commitments from Congress for testimony. But I mean, who doesn't want that story? I mean, that's just crazy stuff that these guys are getting. Exclusive stuff, video footage. And it's just like, hey, guys, what media inquiries do you have next? Where are you going next? And they're like, oh, nobody really is picking it up. What? Can't believe it. So why do I tell you that? Well, because this is why InfoWars is so important, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Get it now? Understand it now? So, there it is. You heard from Alex Jones today. Support him at thealexjonesstore.com. Running a great campaign there. You can go back, buy a t-shirt that was from 20 years ago, a new design. Some of the other classics that sold out, limited editions, are back at thealexjonesstore.com. And every purchase, you get a raffle entry to the monster truck. It's a monster truck. I'm just going to go ahead and call it. So it's a monster truck. It's absolutely a monster truck. You basically need a ladder to get in it.
So every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com gets you raffle entries into the Monster Truck raffle. You get a hat, you get a t-shirt, you get entered to win the raffle. That's how it works. Thealexjonesstore.com. All right, my next guest. Now, she's all over this Diddy issue. You can go follow her on X at @NatalieDenise_ or her YouTube channel, Natalie Denise, as well for all of her broadcasts. And I got some things that I want to bring up to her. But before I do that, I just want to kind of get her general consensus here. You know, if I'm just kind of looking at all of this and connecting the dots, Natalie, I say, okay, well, let me go with, I won't jump to any conclusions. Innocent till proven guilty. And Diddy has just as much say, or Sean Combs has just as much say to innocent till proven guilty as anybody else. What is so intriguing to me about this is we've got all kinds of videos dating back 10, 20 years of just odd stuff. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you know, when Justin Bieber basically gets grabbed and groped at parties and on award show stages, I mean, is a crime being committed there? I guess not. You know, he just kind of looks around like, what the hell just happened? Was I just assaulted? But okay. So there's all this weirdness. And so to me, as just somebody who's not involved in the legal case here, and let's just say innocent till proven guilty, but it's like you see all these old videos. I mean, weird videos where Diddy walk around. It's like he's with these other dudes and they're sweating. You look at the connections he has when some of these stars are in their teenage years. I mean, that's the stuff where I'm looking and I'm just like, well, wait a second. What is this all about? So that's kind of what stuck out to me now. What about you following this story?
Yeah, I think it's the consistency of the witness testimonies and the lawsuits that are being filed against him, because these are different people from different time frames, but yet they can name the same details, which corroborates something a lot bigger, I believe, you know, and as somebody who researches a lot about these topics, especially surrounding celebrities, usually if something corroborates pretty straightforward and again, different timelines, different, you know, people, and the empirical evidence points to one thing, I say we can draw certain conclusions or we can make certain assessments. And I think that's what the majority of the public is doing right now with Diddy, including the things that he has said himself that has implicated himself. I think at one point he had a form of power dynamic that he thought he would never go away, that would never dissipate. And all of a sudden that he would never find himself in a day like this where he would actually get found out for a lot of his dark deeds.
How many bottles of baby oil do you have right now at your residence?
Zero.
Oh, okay. So that's all right. Well, we have that in common. So that's zero. I don't know. Maybe that's odd. Now, I'm hearing rumors that it might have been some sort of a liquid drug. Have you heard anything about that?
I have seen rumors that it is a liquid drug or some other substance. I tend to steer away from that, sort of just going by Occam's razor and, you know, citing concrete evidence. Now, if there were witness testimonies that were to attest the same details that, hey, they say that it's baby oil, but actually we've seen this, then I'll start probably looking that way. But, you know, sometimes with really sensational cases such as this, which are very high level, leave it to the internet to, you know, sensationalize it or fluff it up even more, which I don't believe we need to do, because the evidence and the truth and the facts are right there. And if you cross analyze these cases, you'll see that there's a lot already there. We don't have to add on to it. So I don't see any evidence.
And people just put out fake stuff just I think for fun too. So you always got to be right. Careful with that. Right. You know, some of the other stuff that came out were these videos, one we aired on this show, where he's like bragging about people passed out at his parties. And he's like, oh, look, this guy is so passed out. Now, I'm not throwing Bill Cosby's name out there like he has anything to do with this, but we all know, you know, the Bill Cosby story with the drinks that ended up right. Him in a courtroom. And so what do we know as far as witness testimony or what's on the government documents right now as far as a situation like that?
Yeah. So actually, in both cases of Cassie Ventura and Lil Rod, who were actually Cassie Ventura was the case that really kicked it off to light. You know, a lot of these details about the freak offs and, you know, intoxicating people. But Lil Rod really went into detail as to how this operation actually happened.
Was that his bodyguard?
Lil Rod was actually a co-producer on his latest album.
Okay.
Yes. So, and it's quite ironic because the reason why Lil Rod really punted this into the light and filed this lawsuit was because he did not get paid for his services in producing this album. So in this particular lawsuit, he did detail that the drinks were laced with certain substances. And then if you cross-reference that with one of his ex-bodyguards, he did attest that not only did they spike the drinks, they were actually spiking the juice, the mixers. So, you know, if one were to be suspicious of mixing any alcohol that might contain the substance, then maybe they could just drink the juice. Well, little that they would know, the juice was actually spiked. So that's how easily it came about that many of these victims could have been, you know, drugged or date rape drugged into doing what they did.
All right. Well, I'm not trying to set you up to be graphic here, but for people that just don't know about this story, what was a freak off?
Sure. So a freak off, if anybody's seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, basically that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
To generalize it, freak offs were basically orgies. They would have, you know, sex workers, male and female, hired. They would then have also party goers in this mix. And it was basically an orgy. Now, the thing about these freak offs that really took me by surprise, especially, you know, that I do read quite a bit about, you know, sex trafficking stories and sex trafficking cases, you know, was the fact that they confined these people and had them ongoing for days. This wasn't like an hours long into the morning long orgy. This was like days long. And then after that, it was also specified in the latest that they needed IV services to recuperate after that freak off. So that's how intense these things were. And in a resurface interview that he did with Conan O'Brien back in 2002, he actually kind of joked about this, that, you know, women needed water and they also needed to be locked. They needed locks on the doors. So, and he also said that that was kinky. So, you know, there are things, to your point, what you mentioned earlier, that he said in the past that he never thought that would be caught in the light.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy to me is all these resurfaced videos, interviews. And I mean, obviously, you know, self-incrimination is you can't, but it's like, now you just look at it from a neutral observer and you're like, well, wait a second. This is, I mean, I don't know if it gets brought up as evidence. I mean, if I was the plaintiff's attorneys in these cases, I'd probably bring it as evidence. I think it's pretty damning stuff to a jury.
Yeah.
What do we know? Because when I look at this too, and maybe I can get your opinion on this and I'll kind of bring it back to my next question. I feel like the Diddy stuff was more, because people are comparing it to Jeffrey Epstein, right? And I feel like the Epstein stuff was probably closer to the Eyes Wide Shut thing. And I feel like the Diddy thing was more of, this is how we're going to kind of control the entertainment industry if it's as bad as it seems. And that's where I'm going here is, what do we know thus far about the camera situation? Because it did come out that there were cameras. There's also been bodyguards or former bodyguards of Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, Diddy, the Diddler. Puff Diddler, that he had cameras that were installed recording all this stuff. Do we know, was that a known or unknown factor for the attendees of these parties?
Now, for I believe in the Lil Rod lawsuit, it was mentioned that there was some blackmail going on, that some of these sexual acts were actually filmed. Now, whether it was with or without their consent, I can't concretely say that, I do want to lean on more so, no, it wasn't with their consent. There was a recent lawsuit that was actually, I believe it came to public's eye yesterday. Thalia Graves, who is filing this lawsuit against Diddy, actually attests in her lawsuit that not only did him and his bodyguard bind and raped her at the Bad Boy studio, but also they shot video of her and sold it to the dark web. It's alleged that they sold it to the dark web. And the lawsuit is actually calling to action that they would take down and destroy any copy that they have. That's a pretty grave allegation to make, especially that they are calling for hard copies of this particular tape or this particular recording to be taken down. You know, and of course, I'm sure they're probably looking for recouping of damages, emotional damages. But I think a call to action that big is pretty notable.
Well, and I wonder too where the snowball rolls down the hill here. And other people, like you said, there's probably going to be new allegations or new plaintiffs joining these lawsuits that said, okay, well, you know, I was involved in this too. And look, again, Diddy is innocent till proven guilty. And I'm sure there will be people who try to join this maybe for bad reasons. But also there's probably people that get involved and they say, you know, I was a victim here too.
Right.
And right now he's in a cell. It sounds like it's a low security cell. They do say he's on suicide watch, but I got to say, I'm familiar with the prison system. So unfortunately I'm pretty familiar with it. To be in a dormitory style cell while on max suicide watch doesn't really add up to me. That means right. That means multiple men have access right there to him. They can walk right up to his bed. It's not like having him in solitary or the special housing unit. What do we know about right. the alleged suicide watch or his current situation? Apparently maybe bunking with Sam Bankman-Fried. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the last thing that I read, that he is bunking with Sam Bankman-Fried. And I think that that's wild, especially if I think on suicide watch, you would think that there are other precautions taken to, you know, basically overview and just monitor the prisoner or whoever is incarcerated. So I do find that rather strange, unless so on the same watch. Again, I don't know these protocols too closely, but it does seem a little bit strange. I did see that, these might be rumors, but I think that there was an attempt to maybe commit suicide. I think that maybe that is just a rumor mill, but yeah, I think that that is quite strange that he is bunking with Sam Bankman-Fried.
Well, I don't believe he's before. On suicide watch for, or well, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. I don't believe he's suicidal one bit. I mean, he was trying to avoid jail at all costs. I mean, he offered $50 million.
That's right.
Now there's other rumors saying that he's trying to avoid the prison food. That's kind of the normal thing when you first get into prison. Most people avoid it
right.
in the first days, and then they either just eat commissary food or they're just eating because they're hungry. So right. I don't know. He was saying he thought that maybe he would be poisoned. Usually the situations at these things, I'm not saying it's impossible to poison somebody, but usually in a situation like the cell he's in, it'd almost be impossible to poison him because they're just walking up and grabbing food. You don't even know what food he's grabbing or what scoop you're going to serve him. So I don't really know about any of that. Do we know, I guess really the next question is, do we know when the next phase of this is? Trial? You know, is he going to plead to get back out of prison? I mean, what's next?
That I am not particularly knowledgeable about. I don't quite know about that. I know that we will all be awaiting these details as they all do unravel even more, although there's a lot at stake here for Diddy. You know, I do find it a little strange just commenting on the process of this particular justification, because, you know, in the Lil Rudd lawsuit, there was a lot more that was alleged other than the three counts that they charged him with. And I wonder about that. For instance, it was alleged that he did drug, you know, certain people in this new lawsuit. It is also alleged that she was drugged. So it makes me wonder why they omitted those charges. Also, there were minors at his parties, allegedly, and there was evidence supporting that. And there isn't anything to, you know, allude that he's going to be charged for that. So with that being said, I don't know that this is another Ghislaine Maxwell type of situation where they'll kind of fix it to look like there's some justice being served, but really not the full extent of justice. So that does concern me a little bit. And also to add on, it is alleged by one of his previous employees that he does have tapes, blackmail tapes of politicians. So with that being said, who knows, you know, what sort of extent of the law that will be justified in this process?
Well, Diddy obviously did not stay away from the political world. I mean, he was well known for doing the vote. I think it was the Vote or Die campaign. He attended a lot of political events. He was friendly and maybe a little cozy even with one Barack Obama. So it wasn't like he was trying to avoid that world. And, you know, there's been other allegations. And again, somebody popping off on a podcast. I mean, look, Cat Williams and 50 Cent have pretty much been proven completely correct with the right. commentary that they were giving for years on the situation. And then there's been other rappers and producers that went out and basically said, no, here's how it goes. You go to a party and, you know, whatever, you have fun. You have some drinks, probably all consensual, but
right.
Maybe you pass out, whatever. Maybe you end up in a room with somebody you didn't want to be in a room with or didn't know who it was. Maybe it's on film. You go to the record signing and you say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to sign this record deal. And then they, you know, pop a VHS in and say, sure, you don't want to sign this record deal. So, you know, there have been statements made along those lines as well. And look, again, let's see what happens if this goes to trial, discovery, evidence. Surely this is going to be absolutely wild.
Right.
But it's just like, it's not so far-fetched, especially after right. what we've seen and heard from the Epstein case. It's I don't think it's so far-fetched for people to look at this story and say, yeah, I believe that.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, I think the silence speaks volumes of all the other celebrities that haven't spoken out that were obviously, you know, associated with Diddy and any of his affairs, whether it was romantically or professionally in the music industry, right? I think that a lot of these names have been dropped in various lawsuits, but, you know, this definitely speaks volumes that they haven't made any statements, any sort of, you know, just empathy or sympathy notes to many possible victims or to Cassie Ventura herself, right? And I think that the settlement did speak volumes, right? He obviously felt that compelled to settle because there must have been something true about this lawsuit that he couldn't fight. So he settled. So I do believe that the silence of many people, whether political heads or celebrities that have been mega elite celebrities for decades, not speaking out on this is pretty, it tells the story.
What about certain people erasing their social media accounts that are associated with Diddy? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's very strange. You know, it was all very coincidental timing. You know, Usher seemed to be the first one. Then he came back and said that he was hacked. And many people still speculate what that was, if he was truly hacked.
I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, who knows? And many people speculate that maybe he was,
but somebody obviously wanted this. I mean, who hacks and erases stuff unless you're trying to hide something?
Right, right. Totally. Yeah, that's what I concur with that. You know, so it's maybe speculated that he went offline, may have deleted some things and then went back online, but that's not confirmed. And I haven't checked Social Blade to see if that was true or not.
And even Usher could be a victim in all of this, but eventually just embraced it.
Yeah, he could be because he actually was a minor. I believe he was a minor when he first started working with Diddy, just like Justin Bieber.
I believe it was 13.
Yeah, he went to a camp, I think Flavor Camp or something like that. That he also in interviews have alleged that there were some funny things that he just wouldn't name what they were. And they were probably more mature. I'll say they were more mature than what his age should have stomached, the environment that he should have seen at his age. So, you know, it could be that he's a victim, and it could be that, who knows what kind of sworn to secrecy ceremonies that they are, you know, doing, whether it is an NDA, as simple as that, or by some sort of blackmail. Who knows?
Well, and I do think it's kind of an observable thing, too, when you just look at the music industry over long periods of time. You say, well, what happened to this group, or what happened to these guys? And you know, how does, let's say, the music industry as a whole decide who's going to be at the top, who's not going to make it? You know, some young guys come up and then they just disappear. Is that because they didn't want to be a part of this, where other guys get jolted to the top? Is that because they were a part of this? I mean, these are some of the questions that I ask just overall of the music industry that I think is just observable. But, you know, when I look at when I hone back in on this Diddy situation, he comes up, his name is Puff Daddy. I mean, how does that not mean gay daddy? I mean, right? I mean, Puff Daddy, you look at it now, it's like, okay, that's gay daddy. And I remember there's all kinds of rap lyrics and rappers, late 90s, early 2000s. They used to say all the time about how all these people were gay. And all the time they'd say all these rappers are gay. They're not real rappers. They're not real gangsters. Right. I mean, now it's like, is that what's coming out? Is this what they were talking about?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems, even if they weren't, right? Even if they weren't, I think Lil Nas is probably a good example of this, because Lil Nas has come out in the public as a homosexual man. And people from his past, such as high school, have come out and said, hey, he's never been, you know, he's never been gay, or he seems to always have been heterosexual, you know what I mean? And so there have been, you know, people who have suspected that maybe he just did it for the industry. So yeah, it's definitely, I believe that even if some of these industry rappers or musicians, even if they are not gay, they're not homosexual, and they're actually hetero, but they do something to, you know, maybe.
Well, that would make sense, because he got right to the top, and that's not a pun, right? But I mean, they jolted him right to the top of the charts, put his music on all the radio stations. I mean, how much talent does he really have? I don't know, exactly. But hey, pretend to be gay, we'll make you rich and famous. Okay, I'm in. Natalie Denise, thank you so much. Follow her on YouTube at Natalie Denise, or on X, Natalie Denise _. All right, that does it for the InfoWars War Room for today. We'll be right back here after 21-hour break.
Now, a lot of you will recognize this bad boy because it was a limited edition bestseller years ago. We've updated it and brought it back due to your demanding it. And it is a conservation shirt. It's a great conversation piece. Atrazine's literally sterilizing and killing frog populations and bending the gender of our young boys and giving our girls cancer. So this is a real conservation shirt. You can serve our operation, keep us on air, and stand up for amphibian life that are being poisoned by the chemicals that are turning the frogs gay. Now, I love this shirt as well, because the left's always acting like they're the Mavericks, they're the Trailblazers, they're the Outlaws. No, ladies and gentlemen, we are the rebels against the globalists. We are the resistance, and I'm voting for the Outlaw. Fight the tyrants at point-blank range, and meet like-minded people, and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now, and don't let the left silence you. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWars MD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation
circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.